glory to the family devotees. All glories, all glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Nama Om Shupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Budhali. Shri Bhaktivedanta Swami Dinamini. Namaste Sarasudevam Gauravani Prajayani. Nirvishesh Shunyavadi Paschati Veshadharini. Mayam.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Samsara Sagare Magnam Dinamam Karunanidhe Karma Graha Grahitandam Mamudhara Bhavarnaval Srimad Bhagavadakhyoyam Pratyaksha Krishna Mevahi Svikratosi Mayanatha Muktartam Bhavasagare Manorathe Madiyoyam Sabhala Sarvadatvaya Nurvigne Neiva Kartavyam Dasoham Tavakeshava Bhave Bhave Yadha Bhakti Padayor Savajayate Tatha Purushva Devesha Nathastvam Noyaka Prabho Nama Samgirtanam Yasya Sarva Bhava Pranashanam Pranamo Dukha Shamanam Tam Namami Harim Varam Janmadhyasya Yadonvaya Idaradas Arte Shwabhitnya Swarad Tene Brahma Hridaya Adigave Mukhyanti Yat Suraya Tejo Varimrudam Yadha Vinimayo Yatra Trisargo Mrasham Dhamna Svena Sada Nirastra Guhagam Satyam Param Dhimahi Dharma Projjida Gaida Votra Varamo Narmatsaranam Sadam Vidyam Vastava Matra Vastu Shivadam Tavatrayo Inmulanam Srimad Bhagavate Mahamuni Krute Kimvaparair Ishvara Sadyo Hridya Varudhya Netra Krutibhi Shushroshubhi Takshanat Nigamakalpadarokalidam Phalam Shugamukhatamrtadrava Samyudam Pipada Bhagavatam Rasamalayam Muraho Rasigabhu Vibahugaham Sachidanandarubaya Vishwolpadyadihedave Tavatraya Vinashaya Shri Krishnaya Vayam Numam Yam Praprajanda Manubedam Abeda Krityam Vaivayino Virahakadara Majjubhava Putre Nidanmaidayattara Vobhinedu Tam Sarvabhuda Khadayam Munim Anatosmi Yaswanubhava Makhila Shudisaramekam Adhyatma Deepam Aditi Tirshadam Tamontham Samsarinam Karunayaha Purana Guhyam Tam Vyasasunyam Upayami Gurum Puninam Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Jaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudiraye Kamaniya Kishore Mugdhamurte Kalavenu Konidadradananindoho Mama Vaji Vijambadam Murare Madhurim Nakkanikabhi Kabhi Kabhi Namahom Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimade Bhaktivedanta Swamin Namine Namaste Saraswati Devim Gauravani Prajarine Narvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyatya Deshadarine Srimal Guru Charanaravindabhyam Namah Vande Nandam Prajasrinam Padarenum Abhishnasha Yasam Harigadot Gidam Punadim Bhuvanatrayam Gopi Charanaravinda Paramanave Namah Pilamparam Karavirajita Chakrashankham Kaumodaki Sarasijam Karuna Samudram Radha Sahayam Adisundaram Andahasam Vatalayesha Manisham Hridi Bhavayami Komalam Kujayan Venum Shyamaloyam Kumaraka Vedavedya Param Brahma Vasadam Purado Mama Mugam Karoti Vajalam Pangum Langhayade Girim Yalkrupatamaham Vande Paramananda Mahavam Shri Krishnaya Nama Srimad Radhikaya Nama Sarvatra Govinda Nama Sankirtanam Govinda Govinda
ഏകാദശ സ്കന്ദം ചാപ്റ്റർ 12 വേഴ്സ് 20 ദാറ്റ്സ് വാട്ട് വി ആർ ഡിസ്കസിംഗ് ലാസ്റ്റ് സൺഡേ പർട്ടിക്കുലർലി ദീസ് ഫ്യൂ വേഴ്സസ് ആർ ഡിഫിക്കൽട്ട് ടു അണ്ടർസ്റ്റാൻഡ് ബിക്കോസ് കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് ആൻസറിങ് ഉദ്ധവ അബൌട്ട് ദി ഒറിജിൻ ഓഫ് ദി സോൾ ആൻഡ് ദ സോൾസ് ഗ്രോത്ത് വിത്തിൻ ദ ബോഡി ഇൻ അതർ വേർഡ്സ് സോൾസ് എക്സ്പീരിയൻസസ് വിത്തിൻ ദിസ് പർട്ടിക്കുലർ ബോഡി and how in relationship with the soul how the jiva or the conditioned soul in relationship with the super soul how it functions within the body that's what Krishna is saying here so we have seen the verse 20 I am he jiva stri prudabjayoni avyaktameko vaisa samadhyaha വിശ്ലിഷ്ട ശക്തിർ ബഹുദേവ ഭാതി ബീജാനി യോനിം പ്രതിബദ്ധയദ്വത് വെരി ഇമ്പോർട്ടൻ്റ് അയം ഹി ജീവസ്ത്രിവിത് അബ്ജയോനി അവ്യക്തമേകോ വയസാസമാദ്യ വിശ്ലിഷ്ട ശക്തിർ ബഹുദേവ ഭാതി ബീജാനി യോനിം പ്രതിബദ്ധയദ്വത് വി സോ വി ആർ ഡിസ്കസിംഗ് ദിസ് ബിഫോർ ഓൾസോ വി മെൻഷൻ ദിസ് ദാറ്റ് Brahma has created us. All the jivas were created by Brahma, from Brahma. And by Krishna's arrangement, eventually we all are taken away from this world, isn't it? We all leave this body and go away from here. In between, we are in this world experiencing our prarabdham. Karmam within this body, we are experiencing that, isn't it? That is the background where we have to begin these verses. So when this is happening Krishna says where is this coming from all these things are happening within the three modes of material nature isn't it birth and death and all our experiences all this is happening within the three modes of material nature because it is a material nature's job is why Krishna created this material nature so that we can fulfill our prarabdham vasana in there prarabdha vasana if it does require a background within which it can function so the three modes of material nature does that job it creates a three modes sattvam rajas and tamas so those who have got tamoguna vasanas they can fulfill through tamogunam tamogunam will infect them and they will fulfill the tamoguna vasana those who have got rajoguna vasanas which you know what they mean isn't it Sattvam, Rajas and Tamas, the three different kinds of vasanas associated with that. Those who have Rajoguna vasanas, they can fulfill their vasanas with the influence of Rajogunam. And those who have got Sattvaguna vasana, they can fulfill their vasanas through Sattvagunam. So, three modes of material nature is the basis on which the living entity experiences all these things. What is that? Birth, death, pious activity, sinful activity, religious activity, then happiness and distress, and all sorts of things, sukham, dukham, happiness and distress, all those things. Everything, the background is the three modes of nature, because if the three modes of nature is not there, you can't experience any of these things. Remember that. Modes of nature, you should understand well what it means actually. It's not that something in the air, modes of nature. Modes of nature is very much a part of us. And all our activities are in the background of these modes of nature that's happening so if we have goodness in us naturally we will take the help of sattvagunam and try to grow in that way if we have rajogunam in us passion in us we will take the help of rajogunam and go through that route and similarly tamogunam also so krishna says here that it all depends on these three modes of nature and three modes of nature depends on what it depends on the mahatattvam if you remember in the creation mahatattvam And then the modes of nature comes Mahatattvam, Ahamtattvam. Ahamtattvam means Ahankaram, false ego. So Mahatattvam, Ahamtattvam, Maya. The three modes have come from that. Sattvam, Rajas, Tamas and Tamas has come from that. And then what else has come? We also got in that creation process, you will see, we also have Andhakaranam. Andhakaranam means Manasa, Buddhi, Ahankaram, Chittam. The four things inside, which is the constitutes a subtle body inside. Mind, intelligence, false ego and Chittam. Four things inside. Then all the senses. All the senses connected with that. And in order to experience all these things in this world, we need the sense objects, isn't it? So, Shabda Sparsham, Rupam, Rasam, Gandham. The five kinds of sense enjoyment were created. So, all these things can be utilized or it can be experienced by the five different senses Krishna has given to us and five different sense objects in the what they call in the Shastram as Tanmatra. Pancha Tanmatra they are called. Shabdam, Sparsham, Rupam, Rasam, Gandham. That means sound, touch, form, taste and smell. The five things. So they were created and we have got the five senses to experience that. Okay. And then after that we have also got the five material elements. Earth, water, air, ether and fire. All these things, if you combine everything, all these things together, that is Krishna's creation. Krishna's creation is nothing but a sum total of all these things, what we have talked about. So, where did this all come from? It all came from one tattvam originally, isn't it? That's our consciousness. Which is that consciousness from where all these things have come out eventually. Consciousness is Brahman, isn't it? Prajnanamayam Brahma, aham Brahmasmi. That Brahman is a Brahma. Brahman is consciousness. It is that consciousness is within us as well. So it is from consciousness all these things have come about. So there is only one thing in the beginning, that is this consciousness. It is from that consciousness Jiva has come. It is that consciousness all these things has happened. How it happened, we discussed this last Sunday, if you remember, and it is important to remember that, how this creation has happened. That from Brahman, Maya has come. But when we have fallen into Maya, Brahman has gone away for us. Brahman and Maya simultaneously don't exist, do they? When you are in Brahman consciousness, Maya doesn't exist. When you are in the Maya consciousness, Brahman doesn't exist. So two things cannot exist at the same time. In other words, Brahman itself has turned into Maya, or in other words, we started seeing Maya and we started forgetting Brahman, the truth. Truth we have started forgetting. This is how it has happened. Then, this is what is known as the what happens to us in the process of various things, what happens. So Krishna is saying here that because Jiva, the conditioned soul, is always in association with material nature, because the conditioned soul is always in association with the material nature, in spite of the fact that we hear so much about the truth, we hear so much about the truth, it doesn't anything happen to us. Nothing happens to us. Why? The jiva is completely absorbed in the material nature or prakriti. Prakriti. Remember? Prakriti, what we Purusha and Prakriti in Sankhyam, that is how it is referred to. Purusham and Prakriti. So, whatever we hear, still we are unable to get out of this delusion. Brahman, it's called Brahman. Brahman means to take something else as the truth and ignore the reality and to accept something as the reality. If you remember, we have four defects, as you know. What are they? The tendency to commit mistakes, imperfect senses, propensity to cheat and to be under illusion. These four things in Shastram, it's called Brahman, Pramadam, Viparlipsam, Karanapadavam. They are the four titles in the Shastram. So Brahman is this to be under illusion. Brahman is the one of them. Or in other words, out of the four, the one of them is that. So long as that is there, we will not be able to understand the truth in spite of the, no matter how many times it's spoken and how many times it's heard. Still, that ignorance won't leave us easily. So, what is Maya means? Maya means nothing but forgetfulness of the soul. Isn't it? Atma Vismriti. When you forget your real identity and you identify with the body, it means you are in Maya straight away. And so, that what does that mean? That means we are all in Maya. Is it not? We are not in the spiritual platform. So as soon as you leave your identification with the soul, you are completely trapped in the Maya. So Maya is nothing but the influence of the forgetfulness of the soul is maya. Actually, forgetfulness of the soul is maya. Now, when you forget about the soul, when you forget about the soul, while in maya, you have no knowledge of the soul, nor you know that you have forgotten about the soul, isn't it? You can look at it this way, that while we are in maya, somebody is telling you that you have forgotten about the soul, but you don't know about that, do you? You don't know. Shastram is telling us you have forgotten about your spiritual identity, Alpa Vismriti it is called. So forgetfulness of the soul is unknown to you at the moment. All of us. It's unknown to us, isn't it? Similarly, that process of forgetting also is unknown to us. We don't know how it happened. All we know, for us the only reality is what we are now experiencing, that is maya. So the soul is forgotten and the process of the forgetfulness of the soul is also forgotten. We are in maya. When a third person comes and tells us that you are in maya and you have forgotten the soul, you are forgotten about the process of forgetfulness of the soul, a third person has to come and tell you, either from Shastram or somebody else has to speak to you. So only then you are knowing about the existence of the Brahman, isn't it? Existence of the truth. So, in other words, strictly for you at this moment, there is only one thing. What is that? Maya. Nothing else. We don't know anything else, isn't it? So, example is like this, that when the rope turns to snake, for you there is only snake. Both rope and snake doesn't exist simultaneously, isn't it? Simultaneously, they don't exist. Either the rope exists or the snake exists. But rope and the snake doesn't exist simultaneously. Simultaneously, they don't exist. And similarly, either Atma exists or Maya exists. When Maya exists, Atma doesn't exist. Or when Atma exists, Maya doesn't exist. In other words, that is the relationship. So, Maya also, that the different reason for that is, one is truth and one is false. One is truth and one is false. Maya is false and Krishna is truth. Soul is the truth. And together they cannot manifest. They cannot manifest together for us. Similarly, this Maya also has turned again into another thing, what is called Mahatattvam. In the process of creation, Maya turned into Mahatattvam. If you look into Bhagavadam, you will see Bhakti Yogena Manasi Samyak Pranhido Male Apashil Purusham Purvam Mayamcha Tadupashrayam. Vedavyasa Maharshi says this. That Sudha Goswami says this, that when Vedavyasa Maharshi sat down in meditation in Badriyashram, what he saw was Bhakti Yogena Manasi. In heart was full with devotion, at that time he saw Samyak Pranahido Male Amale, that means in pure Krishna standing there. What else he saw? Apashyal Purusham Purvam Mayamcha Tadubashrayam. Unnoticed, Mayadevi is standing there under Krishna's shelter. Under Krishna's shelter. In between, what does Mayadevi do? Mayadevi put this screen between us and Krishna. That is the duty of Maya. Maya does, this is her permanent engagement, to keep this screen block between us and Krishna. So when under Maya's control, we cannot perceive Krishna. We have to free ourselves from the Maya. So Maya became, similarly, Maya turned out into be Mahatattvam. And Mahatattvam became Aham Tattvam, that means a false ego. This is how that development, the sequences. And but each time one becomes the other, the past one, the former one gets forgotten. When Mahatattvam became Ahamdattvam, Mahatattvam is forgotten. We don't see Mahatattvam anymore. Ahamdattvam it is. And we become part of Ahamdattvam then. When Ahamdattvam develops into five material elements, as it mentioned there, that then the five tanmatras came, Shabda Sparsha Rupa Rasa Gandham, which are connected with five material elements, isn't it? You know that, that sound is connected with the sky. Sound is connected with the sky. What the earth is connected with the smell. Tanmatras are sound, touch, smell. Shabdam, sparsham, rupam, rasam, taste, and gandham, smell. The five of them. These five are connected to earth, water, air, ether, and fire. There is a connection between each of the tanmatras. They are the qualities of tanmatras of the material elements, right? So material elements are connected with each other. So from sound came the sky, and from sky came the form, and form came in that process, it continuously comes. So it's mentioned in the Bhagavatam, these 10 things, five senses of five material elements and five tanmatras, how they are connected to each other. So Krishna is saying there that from the sky came the air, from the air came the fire, from the fire came the water, and from the water came the earth. From water came the earth. But originally there is only one tattvam that keeps changing, one after the other, keep changing, and becomes different, takes different forms. Like that. It takes different forms. And then these five material elements combine together, the whole creation has happened. So when the by the time they reach the stage of material elements, they exist combinedly or they exist separately also. That's called Panchikaranam. Panchikaranam means when it comes to the stage of material elements, they exist separately and they exist together also. For example, everything in the creation is five material elements only. Take for example our own body, this five material elements, isn't it? But five material elements is mixed up in this body to create different matter to manufacture this body. But at the same time, so all what you are seeing and experiencing in this world is nothing but a transformation, what has happened from the original Brahman. Brahman started with Maya, Maya, Mahatattvam, Mahatattvam, Ahamtattvam, Ahamtattvam to three modes, and then Andhakaranam, and then it came down in this way to material elements, and this whole creation has come about in this way. So everything what we see in this creation, there was one origin. From there, everything came out in different stages, and they started manifesting at different times, different names, different forms it has taken, and that's what we see in the whole creation. That is the point Krishna is making here.
Ayam hi jivas trivida abjayoni avyaktamego vayasa samadhyaha vishlishta shaktir bahudeva bhadi bijani yonyam pratibaddha yadvadam. Bijani yonyam pratibaddha yadvadam. Now, there is important thing here that one tattvam moola tattvam, the original cause, kept on manifesting one after the other, and in that process we started experiencing these different forms and different names, everything. Example Krishna gives here is this, that there was one seed. From one seed, it sprouted. When it sprouted, from that, a plant came out. And that plant grew bigger, and it developed into a huge tree. It developed into a huge tree. When it has developed into a huge tree, it has got its trunk, then the branches and the sub-branches, and then all the leaves has come about. From the leaves, then the flowers have come about. Flowers has turned into fruits. And in the fruits, you have got the seeds again, isn't it? So from one seed, the whole thing developed, and many seeds also. And when it comes to the seed level, then it's finished. The tree is over. The growth is finished there. It stops there. So from one seed, the tree came about, all the other things manifested, and many seeds came about. And each of those seeds has got the same potency as the original seed, isn't it? But one thing you can imagine, that all these seeds that has come about from that, and all the other different trees have come about, they all come from one original seed. Isn't it? One original seed. So that is what he is pointing out here. Vishlishta shaktir bahudeva bhadi bijani yonim yonim pratibaddeyadvadam. Then they all come, they manifest like this in different forms, and they disappear. But none of them are truth. Really, none of them are truth. There is no reality to any of these things. Why do we feel like this, then these are all true? That is called illusion. That is Maya. That all these things are existing. We identify with different trees, different... just like everything in this world, what we are experiencing, we give reality to it. That reality is called a delusion. What we see as reality is Maya. Is Maya. But Krishna says, once you come to know about the soul, the original seed, then all these things what has manifested from that seed will disappear. They will have no more significance at that point. Then, why? Because all these things are shining in this world in his background. Who is behind it? That soul. The soul is a background. If that background is not there, all these different experiences of this world, what we have, and this reality of this world, all these things will not exist for us. It is only because of the presence of the soul that we see all this diversity in the creation. That is the point Krishna is saying there. Vishlishta shaktir bahudeva bhadi. Bahudeva bhadi. It is manifesting in multi forms in front of us. We have the matter has manifested in different forms, in the form of buildings and roads and different shapes of different objects in this world, mountains, rivers, forests, animals, all those kind of things. And again, human species, we have different forms, different bodies, different varieties in that, all sorts of differentiations we have. So, Vishlishta Shaktir Bahudeva Bhadi, it keeps on appear in front of us in multitude, in multiple forms like this. Vijani Yonim Pratibaddeyadvat. Bijani yonim. Yonim means the original source is that bijam, the soul, from where all this has manifested. Then once you know that bijam, what is the soul inside, then this illusion will go. Illusion will go. Once till you don't know that about it, Krishna says that we will see that everything is reality in this world. Everything is reality in this world. As long as we come to realize that the rope is a rope, as long as we don't realize that rope is really a rope, we will think rope is a snake. It's the same thing. So, as soon as you come to know about the rope, the snake has disappeared. Isn't it? So, this is all this material existence mean. Material existence means all this. And where does it stay? This all stands within the soul. Within the soul. So for the reality is this much, Krishna says here, that all these things what you are seeing, those things do exist. But happiness, distress, pious activity, sinful activity, what you like and what you don't dislike, all these things there. But who is experiencing all these things? Jiva is experiencing this, not Paramatma. Jivatma is experiencing all these things. But Jivatma itself is not a reality, isn't it? That's a fallen state. Jiva state is a fallen state. Because when we say Jiva, it means conditioned soul. So conditioning itself is a fallen state, or it's a temporary thing. So Jivatvam itself is temporary. And because it is not true, all the other things are also not true. That's the way Shastram sees that. Our conditioned state of Jiva state is also not a true state. It's because we are conditioned soul, we call as Jiva. So Jiva state will also, when it disappears from Jiva and come to the spiritual platform completely, then we are not Jiva anymore. You can't call it as Jiva. That Jiva state is in the conditioned nature of what is existing now in our association with the material nature. So in the next verse, Krishna is explaining that in a little different way. Yasmin idam prothamashesham odam പടോ യഥാ തന്തുവിധാന സംസ്ഥ യേഷ സംസാരതരു പുരാണ കർമാത്മക പുഷ്പഫലേ പ്രസൂതേ യസ്മിന്നിദം പ്രോതമശേഷമോദം പടോ യഥാ തന്തുവിധാന സംസ്ഥ യേഷ സംസാരതരു പുരാണ കർമാത്മക പുഷ്പഫലേ പ്രസൂതേ. ദ എക്സാമ്പിൾ ഈസ് ഓതപ്രോതം. വി ഡിസ്കസ് ദിസ് ബിഫോർ. വെൻ യു ആർ മേക്കിംഗ് ക്ലോത്ത്, you make the threads in one direction and another thread in the other direction, and you join them like that. So eventually it forms the cloth, isn't it? The cloth is created in that way. So here Krishna is saying here that the only thing that is present in everything is the thread. Because the presence of the thread, you call it as a cloth, isn't it? But the actual, once you take all the threads away, there is no cloth existing. So in the same way, Krishna says here that the because of the presence of the soul in everything, all these things have some meaning. All what's been created has some meaning. So similarly, in this thing called thread, you can make different kinds of cloth, isn't it? Some cloth which is very rough and some other cloth which is very fine. You can add different colors to it, different colors, and you can by dyeing them in different colors, you can create variety of clothes. So similarly, all Krishna has done was with us is that he put us together and gave us different shapes with the same material, 5 material elements. He created us in that way. Added somewhere some element more, some element less in our different bodies. It's not exactly the same all of us made of, isn't it? So due to the combination of these material elements, Krishna created different material bodies in this very world, and exactly like the way the person who is weaving the cloth creates different kinds of cloth. That's what he says here. So similarly, Krishna says here, this tree what he is referring to, that ya esha samsara taru puranaha karmaatmaka pushpaphale prasude. Then we talked about this, that the bijam, from the seed it sprouted, and from that came the tree and the branches, the leaves, then the flowers, and then the fruits. Once the fruit has come, it's finished. So it started from the seed and ended up in another seed. Similarly, we started from the soul and we will end up as the soul only. It is in between all these things are happening. Our creation, we started as the soul and we will end up as the soul as well. We will also end up as the soul. There is nothing else. It is in between this jiva state, material existence, all this experience of happiness, distress, pious activity, sinful activity, religious, religion, and all the problems with the body, with the mind, and everything what we are experiencing is all in between. Not otherwise, not our permanent feature. So when we forgotten the soul, material existence started for us, and once we realize the soul, material existence is over. So just like the tree started from the seed and ended up as the seed only at the end. So there's only one seed, there's not many seeds. All the fruits that has come about has come from one seed, so there is no other seeds have come in between. Similarly, there is only one seed from this tree of material existence has come about. Material existence also is one tree that has come about. And this tree also has got flower and fruits. What's that tree? Remember in the Bhagavad Gita, the same tree is discussed. Yeah. So, upside down that tree, material existence. So, the same tree, Krishna is talking about it here. This tree also, samsaram, material existence, has got two things attached to it. That one is a flower and the other one is a fruit. The flower is sense enjoyment. Flower is sense enjoyment. And the fruit is liberation. Fruit is liberation. So that's what he's saying here. Ya esha samsara taru puranaha karmaatmaka pushpaphale prasute. That it creates pushpam and bhalam, it generates this tree, what material existence. So we have got a choice here, whether you want the flower or you want the fruit. If you go for the flower, that means you are engaged in material sense enjoyment. If you go for the fruit, that means you are, your goal is liberation, free from this material life. Those who want that, they will get it, whatever they wanted. Those who want sense enjoyment, they will get the flowers. Because material enjoyment, happiness is this flower, material happiness. So those who want that, they will get it. And that is why this tree of material existence is standing like this. You never get out of this. Material exists. This tree will always stand as long as we have material desires. So once there is material desire, that means we are looking for the flower inside. And when the liberation happens, that means you got the fruit and you are released from the tree. And the tree has got the branches, and just like in the Bhagavad Gita, as it is discussed, we discussed in the 13th chapter these things, isn't it? So all these things have come from where? From one seed. And what is the need for many seeds, many fruits that comes out and many seeds? To create more of these trees again. Isn't it? That in order to create other trees, from the same tree, more sense enjoyment comes. More sense enjoyment comes. And then it turns into seeds later, like if you compare in the similar way. So it's possible that it can develop more material existence. But if you get liberated, you will come out of both material existence and once you're liberated, you're free from the fruit as well. So, bogies. Bogies means who are looking for bhogam. Bhogam means sense enjoyment. They develop such vasanas within themselves to enjoy the senses. They develop such vasanas, bogies. Yogis, they develop such vasana for liberation from inside. So, this is what is discussed in the next verse. Krishna says in a very elaborate way. Dve asya bhije shatamula trinalaha panjaskandaha panjarasa prasudihi dashaigashakho dhisuparnanida trivalkalo dhivalorkam pravishtaha. Dve asya bhije shatamula trinala panjaskanda panjarasa prasudi dashaigashakho dhisuparnanida trivalkalo dhivalorkam pravishtaha. That this tree has got that two seeds. This particular seed, the tree has got two seeds which is coming from, what is that? Pious activity and sinful activity. Punyam and Pavam. Krishna says there, isn't it? Dve asya bije. That it has two seeds and punyabhalam. Punyabhala means, that's what Krishna says, Shadamur, Dve Asya Bhije, what are they? That Punyam and Papam, pious activity and sinful activity. Those who have got pious activity, they go to the heavenly planets. And those who have sinful activity and sinful activities to their credit, they have to go to the lower planetary sets, lower planetary systems. Shadamula Trinalaha, Shadamula means, it has got thousands of roots, Krishna says. What is the thousands of roots? Thousands of vasanas in a person. That is his roots, which holds the tree very strongly. The thousands of vasanas. Then, that is what is keeping this body, isn't it? These different kinds of vasanas are keeping this body. So, vasanas sustain this material body. Then, As long as we have that, this body will stay. This body won't go away. Then, Trinalaham. Trinalam. He says here, Trinalaham. Trinalam means it has three sprouts in there. Three ways it is sprouted. What are they? You can say Sattvam, Rajas and Tamas. The three modes of nature. There is also another thing called Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti. That is also referred to in the same way. Panjaskandaham, Panjaskandam. Panjaskandam means it has got five big strong branches this tree has got. What is that five different branches? Krishna says here five material elements. Five material, earth, water, air, ether and fire. And Panjarasa Prasudi, what are they? The rasam or the taste of all these five things. What is that?
Shabdam, Sparsham, Rupam, Rasam, Gandham. That means the sound, touch, form, smell and taste. Shabda, Sparsha, Rupa, Rasa, Gandham. These are the five Pancharasam. That comes from this tree. Then he says here, Dashaigasha go to Suparnanidaha. There is got 11 branches, sub-branches from there, which is 10 senses, 5 senses of knowledge, 5 senses of action, and Andhakaranam. That means the whole subtle body inside. Manasa, Buddhi, Ahankaram, Chittam, all that together. Then there is two birds, Krishna says. There is two birds sitting on these branches. One is the conditioned soul, Jiva, living entity, and the other one, Krishna, super soul, Ishvara. Sitting on these two branches are, two birds are sitting on the tree. Trivalkaha, that it has got three coverings, this body has got. And from this, from the point of view of Ayurveda, it is spoken. Air, bile and mucus. The three things which constitutes this body. Dvibhalaha. Dvibhala means two fruits that's coming from that. What is that? Bhogam and moksham. Sense enjoyment you get, also you can get liberation from this body, bodily existence. So this is the tree Krishna is talked about. This is the tree, nature of the tree. Now, how big is this tree? It occupies the whole creation, this tree. It's a tree, you should not say, oh, no, where is that tree, show it to me. You can, I can't show that tree to anybody. You have to understand, examples are given as a tree in order to make us a little easier to connect with it. So therefore these examples are given, the tree example. So this tree exists, it is a very subtle level the tree exists, but the tree's nature is difficult to explain. You can only explain it in this way, what Krishna has explained that way. That tree has got all these branches, flowers, fruits, everything, and this is what it is made of. So right up to the heaven, the sun planet, covering this whole universe, this tree has grown. After that, then there is no extension of this. That's what that word used there, arkam pravishta. Arkam pravishta means that's a limit to the sun planet. Then, up to that only, beyond the Suryamandalam or the sun's limits or the universe, this doesn't exist. This tree doesn't exist. So, material existence within this universe is compared to a tree. And we have to accept this as Krishna has spoken, because that is how we live in this world. And Krishna is saying here, in the next verse, Adandi jaigam bhalamasya gradraha gramichara egam aranyavasaha hamsayam egam bhakurubamijir mayamayam vedasa veda vedam. Then, Adandi jaigam bhalamasya gradraha Gramichara egamaranyavasaham hamsayam egam bhakurubamijir mayamayam vedasa veda vedam. So here Krishna says here that two kinds of fruits he mentioned before, and there are two kinds of birds also eating these two kinds of fruits. Two kinds of fruits. There are two kinds of birds who are eating there. One, Krishna says, Gridhram. Gridhram is the one which is the eagles. Yeah? And the other one is Hamsam, the swan. So basically what Krishna is saying is that these two different kind of happiness in this world, sense enjoyment and liberation, they are both considered to be the fruits. Sense enjoyment and the liberation. They are two fruits standing there. And two classes of people are tasting this fruit. One who is into sense enjoyment, they are considered to be like the eagles. And those who are looking for liberation from material life, they are considered to be swan, hamsam. They are called hamsam. Krishna is just laying the foundation for the next chapter. Next chapter is called Hamsagidam. Next chapter is called Hamsagidam. There, Krishna's appearance as a Hamsam comes at that point. In that appearance as a Hamsam. So already Krishna is saying here that there is a difference between the Hamsam has got a special nature. What is that?
If you mix water and milk together and give it to swan, it will separate the milk and the water and take only the milk. It has some special potency on its tongue to do that. So therefore, they will only accept the milk, not the water. Similarly, the yogis also, it's all mixed up here, even though still they will only accept the milk from that. That is hamsam. Hamsam means, even though they live in this world, even though they are living in this world, it will only take the essence from here, what it has to take from this world. It won't go after those who are, in other words, those who are after sense enjoyment, bodily happiness, material advancement, they are all grudhram. Shastra's word is grudhram. They are referred to as the eagles. Yeah, they are considered as eagles from the Shastra point of view. Everybody who is not endeavoring in the direction of liberation or towards getting the fruit of liberation, instead of struggling for the fruit of sense enjoyment, he is considered to be an eagle. Why eagle? This is a question, isn't it? As I mentioned about the hamsam or the swan, swan has got this capacity to separate out from the milk and the water. So it can separate. Eagle, if you notice, it fly at very high altitude. Yeah, very, very high altitude. Sometimes you see, rarely you hear this also, that aeroplanes get hit by their wings or something from the eagles, isn't it? Or sometimes they get into the aeroplane's engines, jet engines, and those can be damaged. So they fly at such high altitude. Even though they are flying so high, you know what they are looking for? Their eyes are very powerful, aren't they? Very powerful eyes, Rudra Drishti, it's called. Their eyes are so powerful. And they'll be looking at this earthly planet from such a high altitude. But what will it be looking for? Is there any dead body lying anywhere? That's what it is looking for. All it wants is some dead corpse or dead body, because its pleasure is in that dead body. That's all. So many other things are there in the world. It has no attraction for that. The only thing the eagle is looking for at such high altitude, it's so high, from there its eyesight is so good that he'll be looking, is there any dead bodies lying anywhere, so that he can eat that dead body. So materialists who are living in this world, who considers themselves as very advanced and who considers themselves as very polished, is this grudram. It's grudram. There's no difference at all. And we may say anything about anybody else. Big men, big position, big job, big industry. No. Shastram is saying they are grudram, because they don't know what they should be looking for. They are looking for this dead body in this world. It is, the intelligence is like that. That is the important, that's why that verse is important. Krishna says that adandi chaigam phalamasya grudhra grame charame ekam aranyavasah hamsayam ekam bahurupam ijir mayamayam vedasa veda vedam. Then the the gramavasi means ones who lives in the villages, and those who are looking for sense enjoyment, in other words, They are only experiencing the taste of the rejects of this tree, or what has been rejected by the tree. And the hamsam or the swans, they take the best out of that and they experience a liberated state. Even if you execute sacrifices, yagam, and even then you are not complete. You are not complete. Because that is also only taking you to heavenly planets. It can take you to heavenly planets. But one who has come to this firm understanding that liberation is the ultimate goal, and one who is endeavoring that direction to develop the knowledge and devotion and trying to get himself free from this material existence, Krishna says he is the right person. He is properly situated. Not anybody else. He has understood the purpose of Veda. That's what Krishna is saying here. All he has to do, if he has got this fixed in his mind, all he has to do is, he has to utilize his lifetime and the facilities what he has got for that purpose. Then, people who are very materialistic, they are like the Gridham. And even when they come to spiritual life, normally they don't come to spiritual life, they come to religion. They take to religion. What they do? They'll become religious and then they will do a lot of things in this world for their material happiness. Somehow or the other, they'll see that if I do all this kind of spiritual activities, they will link that with their material happiness. Materially, how much can I become happy? Oh, family is all happy. Everybody is properly situated. The sons and all others have got jobs. The daughters are married. Family life is going very well. It should go nicely. That's all I want from this life. And for that, I will help the temple. I'll donate money. What I'm earning very well, Krishna has given me. I've given it to them, to the temple. Everything is going wonderfully in my life. This understanding comes from that. That they are also not also considered to be Gridham. They are not Hamsam. Hamsam is only that person who has understood why Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita has been given to us, not to become a Gridham, but to become a Hamsam. After studying Bhagavatam, if you still become a Gridham, that means you have not understood Bhagavatam. That's what it means. That's why Bhagavatam is called one. What is it called? It's called Paramahamsa Vidya, isn't it? Paramahamsa's technology book is this. Paramahamsa's technology, isn't it? Paramahamsa megamamalam jnanam param giyade. Isn't it? In the Bhagavatam end, there is a verse like that. If you read, who enjoys the Srimad Bhagavatam? It says there. Who enjoys Srimad Bhagavatam? Srimad Bhagavatam Puranamamalam yad vaishnavanam priyam yasmin paramahamsa megamamalam jnanam param giyade yatra tatra jnana viraga bhakti sahitam naishkarmyam avishkritam tal shrunvan vipatan vijarana baro bhakti avimucher naraha. So Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami has spoken for this understanding. Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam yad vaishnavanam priyam yasmin paramahamsyamekam amalam jnanam param giyade. The knowledge in the Srimad Bhagavatam is paramahamsyamekam amalam. It is meant for the paramahamsas. Amalam, it's pure. And that knowledge, jnanam param giyade, that supreme knowledge related to the soul is spoken in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So if you take Srimad Bhagavatam and start thinking, oh, if I study Bhagavatam, my family life and social life, everything will go, I'll be a successful businessman in this world, just like people do with Bhagavad Gita. People are doing with Bhagavatam also. Everything is used wherever they can for their material advancement. If we do that, then we are Gridham, we are not Hamsam. Because it is meant for Paramahamsas, Hamsam. Hamsam means one who knows the purpose of Bhagavatam. That's what it is mentioned there. Yasmin paramahamsyam ekam amalam amalam jnanam param giyade. The knowledge in the Bhagavatam is pure, transcendental knowledge. It's all about self-realization, nothing else. In the Bhagavatam, they have no other interest. Paramahamsyam ekam amalam jnanam param giyade. And that is what is glorified in the Srimad Bhagavatam. If you come, when you finish whole Bhagavatam, Sudeva Goswami will say about this later. He said, I have spoken so many things, but actually none of them are true. The only truth is the soul, he says. Even after hearing the whole Srimad Bhagavatam, he is speaking like that. He says, because in order to present the soul, I have to present all these things in front of you. All these 12 cantos, he will say later on, I have to speak only to present the soul to you. That's how he presented that. So the truth is the soul to bring us to the spiritual stages, spiritual understanding. That's why he says here that yasmin paramahamsimekam amalam jnanam param giyate, it is spoken, sung about that knowledge of the truth. Then tatra jnana viragam bhakti sahidam vaiskaramyam avishkritam. Jnanam, vairagyam, bhakti, three things are the product of Bhagavadam. Jnanamargam, jnanam, vairagyam and bhakti. These three things, tatra jnana viraga bhakti sahidam naishkarmyam avishkritam. That with the result was that we reached the state of naishkarmyam. Naishkarmyam means completely released from the bondage of karma. Naishkarmyam avishkritam yal shrinvan vipathan vicharana paro bhaktya vimuchir naraham. That by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam properly, by studying Srimad Bhagavatam properly, and by reflecting on Srimad Bhagavatam properly, shrunvan vipadhan vicharana paro, what will happen? That realization will come about the soul, and the result will be bhaktya vimuchir naraham. That he will be, because of that intense devotion, that will develop. Because once we know our swarupam, our real identity, we don't act in the way what we are acting now. This attachment has gone completely to the material life, material world, family, friends, society, everything. Our true identity we have got it back. We always have it. Only thing, we lost it. We are regaining it or getting it back. That's all. It's not something which comes from outside. It's already there. Only thing is, we are retrieving it. Just like you retrieve the files, isn't it? Same way, you are retrieving it back. Again, the same thing. Bhaktiya vimucher naraha. So this hamsam is that nature, what Krishna is talking about it here, that ultimately the goal of materialists is not this, is not to become a hamsam. They want to become a gridram. So they will use Bhagavatam if it helps them for that purpose. That's what the materialists do with Bhagavatam. They won't go deeper into the Bhagavatam subject and try to understand the message, serious message in the Bhagavatam. They won't take it. For them, Bhagavatam is just like go and sit there and stay here for a couple of hours once a year or 7 days in a year. Just sit there, hear that, and then you go home peacefully, say to everybody that I've gone to that saptaham or this saptaham, I listen to that and feel some kind of fulfillment inside, because you feel that if you have done that, it's a pious activity you have done. So that's fine. But Krishna is saying here, that is not the whole purpose of Bhagavatam. That is a gridhram's approach. That's not a hamsa's approach. Hamsa's approach is to separate the corn from the chaff, or the grain from the chaff, and take the message properly and utilize it properly. That is the smart way, intelligent way of doing it. So whatever we have to achieve in this world, Krishna is saying here, because there is nothing to achieve in this world. That's what Krishna has spoken earlier, isn't it? What did Krishna say to us before? Nashwaram yaditam manaso vaja chakshubhyam shravanadibhi nashwaram grihyamanam cha vidhi mayamayam manomayam. Everything is maya and everything is the mind. That's what has created this whole thing. And if you give reality to it and start working for it whole life and waste your whole lifetime for getting established in this maya, Krishna says that's not very good intelligence. So those who are seeking after the truth, they know Vedas. Otherwise, they have not understood Vedas. Although they may say that they are following Vedic literature. So this is the nature of that tree of material existence. One who can see the purpose of Shastram. Purpose of Shastram is to educate us and to give us the proper understanding of things, whereby we use our intelligence and go in the right direction, not to fall into the wrong trap. Materialist class of people are always in majority. 99% will be always like that. They'll be looking for gratifying the senses. It's not that they are condemned completely, in the sense that they will, at least they that way, in the Bhagavatam also you must remember this, that in different places, Sukadeva Goswami gives some benediction to different episodes. If you study Dhruva Charitam, he will say you will get this benefit. If you study Prahlada Charitam, you will get this benefit. If you study Rukmini's marriage to Krishna, you will get this benefit. Like this, every pastime, Krishna is, Sukadeva Goswami is blessed with each pastime. If you do this, you will get this result. Why did he do that? We say Bhagavatam, we say spotless Puranam. Isn't it? It's a spotless Puranam, we say. It has no material influence in this. But still, Sukadeva Goswami has spoken like that in the Bhagavatam. You know, if you read through, you will see so many places. Rasa Krida, Rasa Dance, if you hear, Sukadeva Goswami says, you won't have any heart failure. Not that. If you look at the words, it is like that. But he's not actually talking about heart failure, he's talking about something else than that. But even different episodes in the Bhagavatam, when Sukadeva Goswami spoke, he blessed each one of them. That those who are hearing you seriously, you will get this benefit from that. Because, why did he do that? He knows very well us, what we are like. If there is no profit, we are not going to do anything. That is a fact of life, isn't it? What is in it for me? That is the first question we will ask. Because it is like that, knowing our psychology very well, Sukadeva Goswami said, alright, you study this, you will get this. You will study this, you will get that. But he had no intention to tell us that for that you should study this. That was not the purpose. So that at least everyone has to be accommodated. Ordinary people who have no interest in spiritual life also, in order to bring them. Suppose somebody has got 2 or 3 heart attacks. And somebody tells him, look, study Srimad Bhagavatam Rasa Dance seriously. You may survive for some more time. He'll become serious about it. Isn't it? He'll start reading Bhagavatam. He'll start reading Srimad Bhagavatam from 29 to 33, 5 chapters. At least, you have to only read 5 chapters. You tell them like this. Only 5 chapters you have to read. You don't have to read all the 335 chapters. Just 5 chapters, that's enough. You'll get rid of your heart problem. Similarly, there are other things. Sometimes sometimes marriages hasn't happened. So girls getting older. So then that when there's a situation like that, they'll say, okay, read Rukmini's marriage. They'll connect everything like this. Rukmini's marriage, how it happened. If you read that, eventually the girls will get married. Like this, you know, how our mundane thinking goes in that direction. If whenever somebody presents like that, if you have got that problem, that's what will attract us more than the liberation part. Liberation, who is interested? Who wants liberation from here, first of all? Nobody is interested in liberation. It's all just, hey, Achyutkandam is saying this, we are also saying this. But apart from that, how many people are interested in liberation? Liberation is just some unknown factor for us. Because we only know the body, we don't even know the soul, what to talk about liberation. So liberation doesn't exist. But anyway, Krishna is saying here, that is the way Ekadasha Skandham is. That we can hear and discuss all that, but in reality how much it will go around. So in the next verse, Krishna says, concludes this chapter, saying this. What is he saying there? Evam guru pasana yaika bhaktiyam. Vidyakutharena shithena dhiraha vivrasya jivashema pramataha sambadhya chalmanamatha tyajastram evam guru vasana eka bhaktya vidyakutharena shithena dhiraha vivrasya jivashema pramataha sambadhya chalmanamatha tyajastram. Krishna says, first of all, this principle one should understand from a proper source, proper authority, this importance of the self-realization. That is the first thing Krishna says. And with the assistance of the support from the spiritual master, he should realize this truth. How? Through constant upasana. Upasana means sadhana and upasana. There are 2 things. What's the difference? Sadhana is what you execute on a regular basis. Say for example, 16 rounds you are chanting every day. That is a sadhana for you. For us it's a sadhana. It should develop into upasana. Upasana means it's on a much higher level. That means you have given up all other priorities in life. And you are completely focused and fixed on this. And then it comes to the stage of upasana. Upasana becomes, it's a matured state. Right now we have our interest in many things, isn't it? Job, family life, and mortgage, famous bills payment, and all sorts of things, plus 16 rounds also with that, isn't it? This is our current state. So in this state, importance is equal for all. For 16 rounds and the family life is equal importance. There's not much difference. In fact, it's the other way mostly. So family life more important than 16 rounds. If it happens, it happens. But that is not upasana. That is sadhana. You are in that state. Nothing is serious yet. Somehow you have started. It's good that sadhana is going on. And eventually it should develop into upasana. Upasana means there is no other goal except spiritual realization. One-pointed action. Krishna says, isn't it? In the Bhagavad Gita also, Vasayalmiya Buddhi, Egeha Kurunandana. Only one goal, nothing else. Now we have allowed so many goals in our life, isn't it? We want to fulfill so many different things, plus we want also some spiritual life. So once that is gone, it becomes upasana. So when it comes with the upasana, you should sharpen this knowledge of from Vedas, Vedic injunctions. One should sharpen this knowledge, and when the sword is sharpened, this knowledge what we have got from Shastram as well as from the spiritual master, that knowledge should be sharpened with this upasana. Unless you sharpen the sword of knowledge, it requires sharpening all the time. Otherwise it will rust. The sword of knowledge will rust. That should not happen, because once we have heard something, if you are not sharpening that sword, the sword will go rusty. That means when you need the sword, you can't use it. The sword you can't use it because it's rusted already. So Krishna says here, evam guru vasana ega bhaktya vidhya kudharena shitena dhiraha. That shitena means that with the knowledge, you should sharpen this sword. Knowledge of the sword, you should sharpen with upasana. With upasana. And guru vasana. Guru vasana means serving the spiritual master. Whichever he has instructions, he has given to you. And with that, you should cut off all the other branches of ignorance that has grown on us. Using this knowledge, you should cut through all the weeds and all the other branches, and cut that away from your existence. How did that happen? Because you have forgotten the soul, that you are the soul, and you have become a jiva, isn't it? So when the soul is realized, eventually jiva will disappear. Jiva, jivatvam will disappear. Another existence of jivatvam. Or as a jiva, you are not a jiva anymore. Jivatvam has gone away from you. That time, birth, death, bondage, liberation, happiness, distress, all these things won't exist at that point. Because jivatvam or jiva state itself is maya. It is maya. How do we know? Because in jiva state only, kartratvam and bhoktratvam is there. I am the doer and I am the enjoyer. So, and it is like this, that say somebody has dressed up in a drama to play the role of Duryodhana. I mentioned this before, this example. That to play the role of Duryodhana, some ordinary person has dressed up. Now when he is dressed up, he will act like a Duryodhana, isn't it? And once the role is over, so when is the role of Duryodhana, he has to do a lot of things. He has to get heavy with Pandavas, and then he has to disrobe of Draupadi, and so many things what they did. And all that Mahabharata and different activities what Duryodhana has performed, he has to perform. This actor has to perform. So while in that dress, he has to do those things. But when the dress is gone, he comes back after the drama is over. Then you see him like an ordinary person walking down there. You don't call him, you don't feel any, you don't get upset with him. But when he was acting the role, you got upset with him by being so crude and cruel to others, to the Pandavas. But afterwards, you see the Pandava who was dressed up like Yudhishthira Maharaj, somebody who was dressed up like Yudhishthira Maharaj, and this person who was dressed up like Duryodhana, they go together, are walking backwards to their home together, chatting each other. Isn't it? This is how a drama goes on, drama happens. So Krishna says here that the Jiva Bhavam, that Jiva Bhavam, when did this happen? When it came into contact with the senses and senses and the sense objects. We became Jiva. Isn't it? We became Jiva. At that point, we forgotten our identity as the soul, Atma Bhavam. Jiva Bhavam came and Atma Bhavam lost. When we regain, and with the result what happens? False ego came up. Isn't it? Ahankaram came up at that stage. So with the Ahankaram, I am the doer came. And with that, I am the enjoyer also came. Then what happens with the Ahankaram? Raga Dvesham has come. Attachment and aversion to different things has happened. So when that happens, what will happen? Birth and death will increase. Birth and death will happen. So continuously we have to change the body. Continuously we have to change the body. And then at different times and different places, we have to go through this process of accepting new body, giving up the old body, accepting new body. This cycle continues. So you can see that when the moment we became Jiva and we have accepted this material existence in this way, how it keeps expanding one after the other. In different bodies, we'll execute different karma. Karma vasanas will build up. That will strengthen our Jiva existence, isn't it? We can never come back to our true identity, so spiritual existence. So Krishna is warning us here, with the help of the spiritual master, instruction from the Shastram, one should take an upasana, one should perform the upasana, intense sadhana, to free oneself with this alone as the goal, and then somehow or the other free oneself from this situation as Jiva and come back to his spiritual identity. And one who has understood this truth, Krishna says here, till he finishes, till he should discuss and hear, till it is completely clear within himself that what he is doing is the right thing. It should not go on whole life doubting, doubting, doubting. Is this true? Is this true? How can it be? How? Questions and all must come to an end at some point. There is no more asking questions after that. That we have understood, Krishna is saying this. And we have thought about this and eventually we have come to a conclusion. Yes, this is the correct thing. And then after that, it's no point in keep on asking questions again. It has to be practiced in life. If you don't do that, Krishna says it will not work. So with that, realization will come and escape from this Jiva existence. And one who gets back his own Swasarupam, his own spiritual identity, Krishna says there, he has achieved the goal of life. He has achieved the goal of life. And he has understood the message of the Vedas. That is what Krishna has to say in this chapter. So, we have finished now the chapter 12, isn't it? So, chapter 12 is over now. This is the last verse in the chapter 12. So, Uddhava Vadesham started, when did we start? In the 7th chapter, isn't it? In chapter 7, we have started this Uddhava's instructions. Uddhava's instructions. Instructions of Uddhava started in the 7th chapter. Again, you saw how Uddhava was hearing from Krishna about the, from a very high level, Krishna started the instructions to Uddhava. You can see the problem here that Krishna's instructions to Uddhava is not a topic which many people will relish listening to. The difficulty is not with the instructions, nor with Uddhava or Krishna. Difficulty is with us. We just don't have the taste for it. All you have to do is to recite one verse, everybody will get up and walk out from the room. They won't be able to stay. Because it's not their world they are living. They live in a different world. This is the difficulty with Ekadasha Skandam. And that is the reason you will notice that whenever Bhagavadam, Saptaham and big lectures going on in all over the world, majority people, they stop at 10th canto. They don't go into 11th canto. If they have to do 11 canto, they'll just touch and go. Krishna spoke to Uddhava like this, a few verses they will speak, and then they'll go into 12th canto and talk about the few things in 12th canto. 12th canto also, there's only a few important things. Kali Yugam and its effect, Markandeya story, and Purana's analysis, and eventually it's only 13 chapters, closely, quickly finishes. So, such an important topic in the Bhagavadam, people do not feel any connection with it. Because people are like that, the speakers also become like that. When you have this huge Bhagavadam lectures from great speakers, if you go there, there will be very elaborate arrangements for prasadam, for big kirtanam, and hours of 7 days intense lecture. But in that 7 days intense lecture, you will hardly hear anything from Ekadasha Skandam. This is the way it is happens. Because why? Ekadasha Skandam is not a topic for everybody. Everyone will not relish it. As soon as you they start talking about Ekadasham, 90% will leave the hall. Because the mind is absorbed at the home to go to work. I have to go to get my prasadam is ready. Is it to get there on time? I'm not in the queue now. If I sit here, I won't get prasadam. So I should be in the queue. So all these thoughts will be going through in the head. So they will leave straight away. So this is where we are today. This is where we are today. What I'm saying this is, Ekadasha Skandam is a very difficult topic. And to come to realization of Ekadasham is, because of that, not many people speak about Ekadasha Skandam in the classes also. Then both for the speaker and the listener, it is difficult. It is a difficult topic. The speaker also has to put a lot of energy, and to get some understanding on that takes time. And if you get a group of listeners who are fully falling asleep, and if you have to speak Ekadasha Skandam to them, then you can imagine how difficult, because what will happen, the speaker will also fall asleep with the listeners. That's what will happen at the end. So that is why the lifestyle and our approach to Bhagavadam has to change in order to understand Ekadasha. Krishna has certified Ekadasha Skandam as the highest knowledge in the Bhagavadam. Even in the third canto, you can see Prabhupada's purport on that. He says, this knowledge, what Krishna has given to Uddhava, is in higher than Bhagavad Gita. It's higher than Bhagavad Gita. In the ninth canto, at the end, you will see this one statement, Prochodhava yajaparam samagal sodhama, that before going back to his final abode, Krishna thought that what should I do with this higher knowledge of Ekadasha Skandam? And then Prochodhavaya cha param, param, the highest knowledge, he says he spoke to Uddhava. And then Samagal Sudhama, he went back to his abode. This is all. Krishna has hasn't shown any connection with this world. Came, appeared here at a time, did so many things in this world, and disappeared also in the same way, without any 125 years of earthly pastimes, came to an end with that. So, Prochodhavaya cha param samagal sodhama. Before going to sodhamam, therefore, those who are serious about spiritual life, there is sufficient understanding and knowledge and instructions in the Bhagavadam. Those who are serious about it. Those who are not so serious, for them also they can get benefited from Bhagavadam by hearing the stories and by getting whatever benefit they can get from that. Some attachment will, bhakti will develop from that. There's no doubt about that. That not that everything is rejected, no. All the pastimes of Krishna are meant to create, generate bhakti inside. But in that process, bhakti will purify the heart, and then the desire to hear Ekadasham will develop. After that is the reason why it is kept in the last part of the Bhagavadam. That we are supposed to study all the 10th cantos very well, and we should have got purified to that level that jijnyasa, inquisitiveness, must have developed within us by now to hear Ekadasham. That's how it is structured. Bhagavadam is structured in that way. If we have not got desire to hear Ekadasham, means these 10 candles have not been studied or utilized properly by us. That's why we're not feeling that enthusiasm for Ekadasha Skandam. Serious students will get that serious inquiry for the knowledge of Ekadasha Skandam. That is also another important thing. So therefore it is called Mukti Skandam, isn't it? Kind of liberation. So here we'll see that we are supposed to hear, reflect on that and hold on to truth. But this will only offer you liberation. This Ekadasha Skandam can only offer one thing. What is that? Liberation, mukti. But we don't want mukti. What do we want? Bhukti. We are looking for bhukti. Who is looking for mukti? Mukti who wants? We want bhukti. Bhukti means sense enjoyment. Isn't it? So Krishna is saying here, therefore, Bhagavadam also says, alright, if you want bhukti, read Rukmini's marriage to Krishna. Or as pastimes like that in the Bhagavadam, there are many things which, how Samba went and married Lakshmana in Hastinapur. And various things like that, Jarasandha was killed, Rajasuyam sacrifice, all these things are to fulfill different kinds of bhukti. So therefore, Sudeva Swami also says there, Ya edadananda samudra sambradam jnanamrutam bhagavataya bhashidam. So it is a different Sudeva Goswami you find when he starts speaking Ekadasha Skandam. He says he is intoxicated with it. Why? That realization coming up inside. Ya edad ananda samudra sambradam. That ananda samudra sambradam. That's how he calls Ekadasha Skandam. Ya edad ananda samudra sambradam. Anandam full of bliss in an ocean of bliss. He is swimming in that. Jnana amrutam bhagavataya bhashidam. Jnana amrutam, the knowledge, nectar of knowledge. Bhagavataya bhashidam, spoken by the Supreme Personality Himself. Isn't it? Jnana amrutam bhagavataya bhashidam. Then, this jnana amrutam is an important word, isn't it? Because what is important in this Ekadasha Skandam? It is the jnanam. It is the knowledge of the truth. So earlier we have seen in the Bhagavad Gita also, isn't it, that Krishna is considered to be a milkman there, isn't it? Parthaya pratibodhidam bhagavadam narayanena swayam vyasena gridam purana muninam adhye mahabharatam advaidamrata varshanim bhagavadim ashtadashadhyayinim ambatva anusandhadami Bhagavad Gita bhavadvarshanim. There you will see sarvopanishadoga avo dogdha gopala nandanam. Sarva Upanishad's essence is considered like a cow. And who is the milkman? Dogdha Gopala Nandana. Krishna is the milkman. Partho Valsa Sudhir Bhokta. Partha, Arjuna, is the calf. You sing Arjuna as a calf because you need a calf for the cow to give milk profusely. Partho Valsa Sudhir Bhokta. Dugdham Gita Amrutam Mahat. Gita Amrutam, the nectar of Bhagavad Gita is drunk in that way. Using Krishna is the milkman who is milking the cow, and Arjuna is the calf, and Sarva Upanishads, all Upanishads combined together is the cow. That's how that is compared there. Here also, here it says, Jnana Amrutam Bhagavataya Bhashidam. Here Krishna is not the milkman. There is no milk and cow here. The example here is different. Here the example is, Uddhava is there and Krishna is serving everybody the nectar. Krishna is serving the nectar too. Like in a big feast, you put the leaf first and then all the vegetables served, rice served and then the ghee served and different kinds of vegetables and savories and everything. A big feast is given to Uddhava. That is Ekadasha Skandam. It's a big feast. So in this big feast, Krishna is saying, Sudeva Goswami is saying here, Jnana Amrutam Bhagavataya Bhashidam. After you have eaten this feast of Ekadasha Skandam, what happens to us normally when we eat a feast? Total satisfaction, isn't it? We want to lie down the next thing. Isn't it? He says, Krishna says, Sudeva Goswami says here, if you take this feast, You can lie down forever, don't have to get up again. Once for all, you get released from this cycle of birth and death. That is the benefit of this Ekadasha Skandham. So you can see, Ekadasha Skandham is not like the other episodes in the Bhagavatam. The result is mukti, liberation from this material life once for all. So, amurdamudhada dischaba yayal brithya vargan purusha krishabha madhyam krishna samyam natosmi. Amurdamudhada dischal. Just like when the nectar is saved after the churning of the milk ocean. What did Krishna do? In the Mohini Murti form, Krishna took the nectar and gave all the demigods the nectar. Isn't it? Krishna gave demigods, all demigods some nectar. So similarly, he has served this nectar like that. Similarly, Krishna, Jnanamritam Bhagavataya Bhashidam, this nectar of Ekadasha Skandham, Krishna has served Uddhava in that way. And to that Krishna, that Supreme Personality of Godhead, after Ekadasha Skandham was finished, Sukadeva Goswami got up from the seat. From the seat. 7 days they were sitting and listening, isn't it? In the Bhagavatam you will find two or three occasions Sukadeva Goswami got up from the seat and paid obeisances to Krishna. And this is one of those incidents, Ekadasha Skandham. That's what he says here, Bhavabhayam Abhandam Jnana Vijnana Saram. Bhavabhayam, Bhavabhayam means this fear what we have got of repeated birth and death, cycle of birth and death. What removes that is Ekadasha Skandham. Then Jnana Vijnana Saram, Jnanam Vijnanam, in the essence of all the knowledge. Nigamakrutupa Jahre Bringaval Vedasaram. Then Vedasaram, the essence of the Vedas, just like a bee goes and licks the, from different flowers it collects the essence and enjoys the nectar. Similarly, Krishna has gone as like a bee to all the Upanishads and all the Vedic literature and only extracted the essence from all of that and brought it together in the form of Ekadasha Skandham. Nigamakrutubaja Khre Bringaval Vedasaram, the essence of all the Vedic literature. Then Amrudamudhadadischapaya Yel Brityavargam, that just like he served the his servants, the demigods, how he served the nectar, he served that to Uddhava here. Who Purusha Krishabha Madhyam. Krishabha means one who is expert in that Purusha, Krishna, and whose name is Krishna. That's how Sudeva Goswami says. And whose name is Krishna? Purusha Krishabha Madhyam Krishna Samyam Natosmi. Saying this, he got up from his asana, from Ganga River, fell down on the ground and paid obeisances to Krishna at that point. Just to show the importance of this, how much he must have felt happiness when he spoke Ekadasha Skandham to Parikshit. Whatever happiness Krishna felt speaking Ekadasha Skandham to Uddhava, 100% Sukadeva Goswami also experienced the same ecstasy when he spoke to Parikshit. To talk about soul, to be situated on a spiritual platform and to talk about the soul is different than to talk about the soul from a bodily status, bodily identity, isn't it? So you can see here that the Krishna's, how much Krishna enjoyed speaking to Uddhava, Ekadasha Skandham. And when Uddhava understood what ecstasy he felt, when Uddhava heard what ecstasy he felt, same happiness Sukadeva Goswami experienced when he spoke Ekadasha Skandham to Uddhava, to Parikshit. And Parikshit also experienced the same bliss when Ekadasha Skandham was finished by Sukadeva Goswami. So that is the value of this to understand here. So these things, so the difficulty here is that there is a major difficulty here, because this I have to keep on repeating. I mentioned this before, but maybe it may not have been registered inside. You may have thought it another katha is saying, no, let it go, come and go. Another katha has come and gone. No, it's not katha. It is serious business. What it is all of us have this one nature in us. What is that? every time when we do something, we want profit from that, isn't it? We know that it is our nature. We will calculate everything. If something is said, we'll say, okay, if I do this, what do I get from that? If I go there, what will I get? Is it worthwhile going there, spending a few hours and wasting the time? This way our mind works, isn't it? This is material mind. Our mind is material. And you can also see that these thoughts don't go away easily from us. These thoughts don't go away from us very easily. These thoughts don't go away from us easily. It's always there. Even in childhood, it is planted in us, these thoughts. You can see, we ask the children, isn't it, what do you want to become? You'll say, I want to become a pilot, or I want to become a doctor, I want to become an engineer, I want to become a scientist, I want to become this. But child already understood that I have to become something. He has already been told by the parents, by the society and all that. Parents ask this repeatedly question, or some visitors come to the house, they will also ask the same question, what do you want to become? Isn't it? So this becoming business is very strong in us, to become something, to become something. It is not easy to get rid of this mentality from inside. What the problem here is, in spiritual life, there is nothing to become. This is where the problem is. Spiritual life is not becoming something. Just like this become business will come to spiritual life with us. When we come to spiritual life, it comes with us to become something, isn't it? So everybody is thinking, I should become a big spiritual leader, or I should have success in spiritual life. So that can develop in different ways. In a gross level, if you look at it, you can say you want to establish a lot of temples and ashrams and a lot of disciples, a lot of money, a lot of television channel programs, and the world should know, recognize you as a great spiritual leader who have saved this world from disaster. Like this, you want recognition from the world. That is in a gross level. In a subtle level, it works in a different way. In a subtle level, when you come to spiritual life, what happens is that you give importance to all your spiritual activities. Just like you started thinking that my spiritual sadhana is doing everything. My spiritual sadhana is doing everything. Because I have chanted, you will see if you look into internet, I don't know how many of you read internet. So internet you will find devotees writing like this, I have lived in Vrindavan for 12 years. So as though it is another three stripes on his sides. Then he is calculating in his mind like this himself. And Krishna is smiling from there, watching all this stripes he is putting on himself. He is saying, I lived in Vrindavan, I got a flat there, apartment there, so I am covered for this life, I am okay. Then he is saying, next thing, I have attended Mangalarti for 10 years without break. So that means another credit to me. Then you will say, you can say, these are all coming from inside. I have distributed so many books in this world. What does that mean? It means I have done so much for Krishna. So much I have already done for Krishna. So he can't say to me no. He can't say no to me because I have done this for him. He has to do return. I expect the result from that. Otherwise I am not going to. Otherwise I will question him. Why you have not done that for me? I have done for you. Why you don't do it for me? So this mind is like that. Everything you take in spiritual life, spiritual sadhana also. Or you say I have chanted 64 rounds for 2 years continuously. Or Chaturmasyam I have performed very rigidly for 15 years or 20 years. Right? So these things is not done with the understanding that let Krishna be pleased with that. No. Subtle level, the desire is there. In a subtle level, it is there. Suppose you are told, you are not going to get anything out of it. Will you do it? You won't do it. You are only doing it because somewhere else, some results are also written there. If you do this, you will get this. If you do this, you will get this. So every spiritual activity also, now we are talking on a subtle level. We were talking about the gross level I mentioned before what it is. On a gross level, it's very obvious what it is. Ashrams, temples, followers, money, fame, and recognition in the world. That's on a gross level. That leave it. That I don't have to explain. You can judge yourself what goes on. On a subtle level, it happens like this. That various sadhanas, all you are identifying with expecting results from that. Isn't it? Some results must come. Some results must come. And if the results don't come, suppose you are told after 40 years in spiritual life, you have just wasted your time. There is nothing you have to get out of. You will put your hands on the chest and say, 40 years of my life is gone. What did I gain from this? A stage will come like that. So, the point what we are trying to say here is that the once you come to spiritual life, adhyalpam, spiritual life is known as adhyalpam, adhyalpa jividam, that they will always say like this, that this thing is not leaving them, this thing is not leaving them, this mind, like this, that results must come, otherwise I can't do it. So with this keeping the results in the forefront, you are executing the sadhana also, isn't it? You are executing the sadhana also. And there are people who do a lot of sadhana they do, and then they will say that I never got any realization from that. Because when they are executing sadhana, obviously they talk to others also. And others tell them that what's your realization, they will ask you. Yeah. It's very common among our devotees. They ask, Prabhu, what is your realization? As though they all have such high realizations. What realization is there? I mean, when they put that question to you, you can smile only. You can't answer that question, can you? 40 years ago we started this business, I'm still the same. Nothing has changed, that's only realization. So anyway, they will ask you this question. What realization? They are asking after 3 months. This first question, what realizations have you got? So when they ask you, they're putting you into a corner. You have no answer for that. So what we are trying to say is this, then in Adhyatma Jividam, in spiritual life, once we have come into it, that we are looking for results. If the results are not there, that is in the form of this realizations. If you have realizations, then what can you do? You can tell everybody, I have this realization. You'll see often this kind of letters in the internet, people writing. They have been there for a few years. Immediately they had so much realizations, they want to put everything in writing and tell the whole world about it, what they have realized in their 5 or 6 years spiritual life. So, this is the difficulty, and this we have brought into spiritual life. This we have brought into spiritual life. The point we are missing here is this. Adhyatma Lokam, the world of spirituality, is an extremely subtle thing. Extremely subtle thing. It is not something to play with in the gross world. You cannot bring all your subtle realizations from the that subtle world of spiritual world to the gross world and present it to the whole world. That's not possible. This is the reason all the great realized souls, jnanis, and the great devotees who are deep realizations, after that, what did they say? I have nothing to say anymore. I have nothing to say anymore. Because they have realized that. Because they know this Adhyatma Jividam and Adhyatma Lokam, or the world of spirituality, is an extremely subtle thing. And if you take a little care about it, you can escape from this gross world. That is the point Krishna is making there. that in the Ekadasha Skandam, that is the most difficulty here. That if we bring all our material consciousness and material thoughts into spiritual life, what will happen is it will become grosser. The subtlety will go and it will become gross. It will become gross. In other words, Krishna says here, because the spiritual world is so subtle, that you will only understand why it is so subtle. When you study Ekadasha Skandam more and more, you will understand you don't want to talk to anybody anymore about spirituality. Just Ekadasha Skandam and you. That's all. And if you do speak to someone, you will have to find someone who are on the same wavelength as you are, who is seeing Ekadasha Skandam in the same way. You cannot discuss Ekadasha Skandam with someone who has no interest, who is completely on a platform where he has no idea what you are talking about. Yeah. So this world of subtlety, extreme subtle knowledge of Krishna. Krishna's knowledge, what Krishna has imparted in Ekadasha Skandam, is extremely subtle, very, very subtle, that it is not possible to bring that into our gross world. If we take a little care in our spiritual life, at this stage, early stage itself, we can escape from this gross world, from the gross world. You should not allow the gross nature of this world to affect you. That's an important thing. Because, for example, you are in spiritual life and you want to know the truth, isn't it? That is what you are looking for at the end. You are not looking for, if you are wealth or fame or followers or prosperity or any such thing in this world. When the goal is very clear, I just want to know the truth, nothing else. If you have come to that platform, then Ekadasha Skandam can help. Otherwise, it cannot. Because the thing is so subtle, when Krishna talking about it, our mind also has to be in the same tune, in the same wavelength to understand it. That, therefore, this principle of becoming something also has to leave us. Why I'm saying this is this, that Adhyatmam is also, we have brought this in, and it is the same situation. Remember that example I mentioned before. The example was like the thief who entered the house. So a rich man's house, a thief entered. Remember that story? So when the thief entered, what happened? When the thief entered, the house owner found out the thief is in the house. Somewhere he saw some signs of that. So he shouted and all the people came to help him to find out the thief. Isn't it? To find out the thief. So everybody was looking for the thief. So the thief found out that he's going to get caught. Yeah? So the only thing, he used a trick at that time. What did he say? He also started looking for the thief. He joined everybody else. And where's the thief? He started looking for the thief. So will you find the thief? How will you find the thief? If everybody is looking, including the thief, is looking for the thief. So how will you find the thief? You won't find the thief. So remember this. This is a story. But how it happens to us. In our spiritual life also, this thing called sadhana, what we are executing in our spiritual life, it is also has taken the form of false ego. And like this thief, he is disturbing us there. The sadhana, it's our false ego, that it has taken the shape of this sadhana, adhyalpa sadhana. Or when we are executing sadhana, behind that also, your false ego is working. Don't forget that. Yeah? You're not free from false ego at that point. The very fact that you are getting up in the morning, you are doing so many things, at that time also, you are not released from the false ego. False ego is behind it. So, false ego has taken this dress of adhyalpa sadhana and he's standing there and telling you, oh, you have to become like this later. Yeah? That's where that thought is coming from. Because the false ego is inside, it is pushing you to do the sadhana to become something else afterwards. And Krishna is saying that is also a problem. This is what is happening to a lot of people who are executing a lot of sadhana in life. Because what has happened is their own false ego inside has taken this dress of adhyalpa sadhana, like the thief, and is standing there and telling them that you should do this so that eventually you can become like that. Spiritual life is not that. Spiritual life is there is nothing to become. We are already spirit soul. This is the most interesting thing. There is nothing to become in spiritual life. Yeah? So this misunderstanding must go from inside. That is the major thing what Krishna has to say. That going to attain something, I have to become a realized soul. I have to become a great devotee. And this is all desires. This is all desires. Including these desires must go from inside. That I have to become a devotee, I have to become a realized soul, I have to become a jnani. This is all role played by this false ego from inside. That is ignorance. You may wonder if you say all this thing to somebody who has joined a spiritual movement, if you tell him, he will say, what nonsense are you talking? He says, I want to become a devotee. I am a devotee, he will say, first thing. First thing he will say, I am a devotee. Then he will say, I am initiated. Oh, another one. Next one. Then the third thing, I'm chanting 16 rounds a day. Next one. I've gone on parikrama to Vrindavan. Next one. And then I've done all the holy places. Complete parikrama I've done. 41 days. Next one. In this way, if you keep adding on to this false ego, that is what is talking all these things. It's the false ego inside. He's talking all these things. So once we come to Adhyalpa Mandalam, Adhyalpa means spiritual. In spiritual mind, you have to be always fearful of this thief who is inside, this false ego inside, who is controlling you and dictating things to you to become something else tomorrow. There's nothing to become in spiritual life. So, how do you know that this is the truth? Isn't, you can also ask that question. Take Bhagavad Gita and look at the verse in the second chapter. I think it's verse number 55. Prajahadi yada kaman sarvan parthamano gadan atmanyevatmanatushta. So beautiful verse in the Bhagavad Gita, important verse. Prajahadi yada kaman. All desires must go from inside to become something, to become this, to become that. Sarvan partha manogadan. Whatever the mind is creating inside, because these desires are also coming from the mind only. You are not on a spiritual platform that the soul is talking. All these planning going on inside from a spiritual point of view is also coming from the mind, isn't it? Prajahadi yada kaman sarvan partha manogadan. That manogadan, it's all your mental concoctions. What is creating all this kind of understanding? You are not accepting what Krishna is saying. You are depending on your effort and ability, not on Krishna's words. Krishna is giving us the truth through Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Instead of taking that and changing ourselves, no, we leave that and through our sadhana we keep on pushing. I'm doing this, I'll do this, I'll do that. Other people have told me to do this, do that, I'll do that. And then all the other things I mentioned before. So Krishna says here, Prajahadi yada kaman sarvan parthamano agadan. Then what will happen? Alpanyev alpanatushtaha. He will be situated in the platform of the soul and that will bring you spiritual happiness. Nothing else. That is spiritual happiness when you are situated on the platform of the soul. On the platform of the soul. So this is the one thing, one we have to be conscious of. That adhyalpa ahangaram, false ego inside, will dress up in the form of a thief called adhyalpa sadhana and it will tell us to become something later. To become something later. Every time, many people will ask this question. That, initially when you come to spiritual life, you develop some program, some anushtanam it is called, that you need some basis on which to start your spiritual life before you have understood any philosophy, isn't it? Before you understood any philosophy, you start on some basis, say following principles, chanting 16 rounds and all that. That is a very preliminary stage to start with. But as you make progress and you become more spiritually absorbed and spiritually thoughtful and some understanding comes, you can't keep staying in that level all the time. You have to understand things on a much deeper level. And the deeper level understanding, you will see this point coming up. That you will notice yourself that false ego has not left you still. It is coming out, instead of in a material world, it's coming in the spiritual world now, in another form. You see the point? That the adhyatma sadhana, in the form of sadhana, it is dressed up now, that false ego. And then start making other claims that, oh, I'm chanting so many rounds a day, I'm doing this, I'm doing that in the name of spiritual life. All this is on a subtle platform, they are not important. On a subtle platform, what is important is how spiritually you are not disturbed. Krishna is saying here, desires have gone away from you. Or including this desire of becoming something. Has that left you? That's the most important thing. That instead of material desires, now you're filled in with a lot of spiritual desires. That's all what has happened now, isn't it? Materially, we had plenty of desires. Even before they're leaving us, we added more to it. Now, let's have some spiritual desires also added to that, with all the material desires. So, together, material desires and spiritual desires is pulling us in two different directions all the time, inside. Yeah? And because of that, conflict is building up inside. Whether I should go for this or go for that, isn't it? So then you are trying to, we are thinking keeping both together is success in life. This is our misunderstanding. Both together, keeping both the desires. So when you talk to a devotee, you talk about the spiritual life. When you talk to a karma, you talk about the material life as well. Isn't it? So in this way, life is going on like this. Neither this nor that. That's what will happen at the end. So the point is that when we come to the enter into the spiritual life and spiritual understanding, these instructions what Krishna has given here are very, very important. That prajahadi yada kaman sarvan partha manogadan. Arjuna, at one stage, all desires must go. All desires must go, including the spiritual desires, so-called spiritual desires. This, if you cultivate, these desires have not left you. Because this thing called desiring itself is such a thing that Atmanyeva Atmana Tushta. That means in the platform of the soul, one is satisfied with the soul. That is soul's beauty. The beauty of the soul is that it is not disturbing your mind anymore. Isn't it? Sometimes we do say that, oh Prabhu, you should have spiritual desires. Isn't it? We say like that to people. You should have spiritual desires. Yes. That is only to inspire that person to come out of his material life. But properly, when situated in spiritual life, the beauty of spiritual life is there's no more desires. What is there to desire for in this world? I am that thing, that the spiritual nature is me, is eternal blissful and knowledge. What more do I have to desire after that? So, point Krishna is saying here, Almanyeva Almana Tushta. This word Almanyeva Almana Tushta is Almarama. You remember the word Almarama in the Bhagavadam? You will see there. Almarama Shamunayo Nargranda Burukrame Kurvandi Haitukim Bhaktim Itam Budaguno Hari. The very nature of the soul, Almarama's nature, is a Nargrandhi. Nargrandhi means the grandhi, the gland, or the link, or the knot of attachment has broken with the material life. Completely broken. Abhi Urukrame Kurvandi Haitukim Bhaktim. That what will he do? He has no other taste for anything else. All attachment is completely broken. All desires have gone away. Kurvandi ahaitukim bhaktim. That is the time when he executes Krishna consciousness in its pure form, pure bhakti. At that stage. Ahaitukim bhaktim ittam bhudaguno hari. That bhudaguno hari, Krishna's glories, is influencing him so much. That he sees that in everything there is only one thing that is existing. Existing, that is Krishna. Krishna's beauty means beauty of the soul. That's what he is experiencing, and he realizes what it is. So once that stage comes, it says here in the Bhagavadam, Krishna is saying in the Ekadasha Skandam particularly, it says here that all the devotees are showing to us that this this thing called this desire, it is like a thorn which is stuck in the throat. Just stuck in the throat. So what do? You use another thorn to pull it out and take the thorn away. What is that thorn what you use to pull it out? The thorn of knowledge. Use the knowledge and pull this thing what is stuck in the throat inside. And who says this? King Janaka says to Ashtavakra. This story in the Ashtavakra Gita. You will see this mentioned there. And in the Bhagavadam, there are devotees who have reached that state. That is that state of, Dhritarasura talked about that, if you remember, when he said, na naga prishtam na javarameshtyam na sarvabhaumam na rasadibatyam na yoga siddhi ravunar bhavam va samanjasatva virahayakangshe ajada baksham vivamadaram ghaga stanyam yadha valsadara chutartaha priyam priyevam vyashidam vishanna manoravinda chadadurkshade tvam. Then the only thing Dhritarasura says now, that Indra, you can have your throne there in the heavenly planets. I'm not interested in anything. Even if you hand over to me the whole creation, I'm not interested. So remember Dhritarasura's state of consciousness. That na sarvabhaumam, na rasadivetyam, na yoga siddhi. I'm not even bothered whether I'm going to take birth again. Apunar bhavam va samanjasatva virahayakankshe. Because I am separated from the soul so much, that is what is bothering me. Why my realization hasn't come back to that state of consciousness, separation from Krishna. Separation from the soul means separation from Krishna. So, all the great devotees, great jnanis, when they have come to that platform, if you look at what they have spoken, it is exactly a photocopy. The same thing. They all have to say the same thing. What is that thing? They reach that state of consciousness, then prajahadi yadakaman sarvan partha manogadan atmani atmana tushta sthidaprajnyat taduchyade sthidaprajnyal taduchyade. Krishna gave a name for this in the Bhagavad Gita called sthidaprajna. That is sthidaprajnyatvam. Sthidaprajnyatvam means this, that there is no more any kind of desire, material or spiritual. All desires have really gone away from him. But often in our life we have misunderstood sometimes like this, that okay, I'll do this, will I get there. This way constantly we are interpreting our spiritual life. There's no need to interpret spiritual life like this all the time, and to see everything in the basis of profit and loss. That's our nature, isn't it? Profit and loss. If I do this, will I get the profit? If I do this, will I lose it, something. So similarly, if you bring all that into spiritual life, the spiritual life won't grow very well. It will always remain as an unknown entity. Spiritual life remains as an unknown entity. Spiritual life is another world we are creating, and we are going away from this world once for all, saying goodbye to this world, moving to another world. And that world is a world of subtleties. It's not gross. It's a world of subtleties. And that subtle world, you are alone. You enjoy that yourself with that realization what's coming from inside, from your spiritual activities and spiritual realizations, or whatever we call it. You don't need somebody else there. Nobody needed there, because you can enjoy on your own. Ekadasha Skandam is that enjoyment, what you get in that world. So naturally, when you have to enjoy this world of Ekadasha Skandam, you also have to create that world where you leave this world and don't link these two worlds together. World of material happiness and world of spiritual realizations in the Bhagavadam. So as we go further and further, when we finish Ekadasha Skandam, you will understand at that point in time, you will know what we are talking about. The important things, what Krishna has spoken at different times. And after we finish everything, these 31 chapters, we have now finished 7th chapter, started Uddhava Upadesham, and we are now on the 12th, we have finished. From 13th onwards, Krishna is going to bring another topic now, Hamsa Gidam. Hamsa Gidam is the topic where Krishna appeared as a Hamsam and instructed the four Kumaras, Sananda, Sanatana and Sanat Kumara. The four Kumaras were instructed. So in this chapter, Krishna will talk about again about the soul in much more higher level. And the importance of self-realization comes there. And when you see the questions and the answers in this chapter, you will notice that Krishna has simplified things for us a lot and makes a life a lot easier for us. And you will also notice what is the mistake we are making in our own spiritual life. When we try to understand spirituality in our way, we have to take spirituality in the way Krishna has spoken to us, not the way we like it. Not the way we like it. We have now made spiritual life as another duty, isn't it? Just like we have to execute so many duties in the life, the office work, homework, and this work, that work. Similarly, spiritual life also has become a duty-like thing. But spiritual life is not a duty. Spiritual life is real life. So that's why Krishna is going to speak now. In Bhagavatam, I mentioned before, there is the Dattatreya Gita, Hamsa Gita, Bhikshu Gita, and Aila Gita. Four Bhagavad Gitas are there in this Ekadasha Skandam. Like Bhagavad Gita, there are four Gitas. The Dattatreya Gita, Hamsa Gita, Bhikshu Gita, and Aila Gita. We have seen the Dattatreya Gita, when the Dattatreya Maharshi, discussed with King Yadu. We have seen that. Now we are coming to the second one, which is known as Hamsa Gita. And this is an important part of this Ekadasha Skandam. It's a very important part of Ekadasha Skandam. Why? These four Gitas are spoken with one purpose only, to fulfill the first words we spoke, Tvantu Sarvam Parityajya Sneham Svajana Bandushu Mayaveshya Mana Samyak Samadrik Vijarasvagam. Krishna, if you remember in the 7th chapter, Uddhavadesham began with that words. The first words from Krishna to Uddhava was this. Tvantu Sarvam Parityajya Sneham Svajana Bandushu. What does that mean? Vairagyam, complete vairagyam from this world. And for that, in order to establish that, this Krishna spoke about the Dattatreya Gita, the Dattatreya Maharshi and King Yadu. That discussions came out from that. Then, Sneham Svajana Bandushu, Mayaveshya Mana, to fix the mind in Krishna. How to do that? That means we have to know the identity of the soul. Hamsa Gita was spoken about that. Hamsa Gita will tell you about that. When Hamsa Gita is understood properly, and if we reflect on Hamsa Gita, eventually it will bring that realization. It's meant to bring that realization. Then Samyak Samadrik Vijarasvagam, Bhikshu Gita and Aila Gita will talk about that. So all these are the gems in the Bhagavatam. The gems in the Srimad Bhagavatam, these are the topics that is discussed. And as much as we hear, as much as we reflect on that, you will see that the realization that comes from that takes us to this understanding that there is nothing in this world to become anything, there is nothing to achieve here. And what Krishna told Uddhava, Vijarasvagam, walk through this world, finish your business and get out from here, not to come back here again. So that is mukti, that is liberation. Leave this world, goodbye to all, to everybody. Samadrik, because you have seen everything in this world, it's all, at the end of the day, Krishna's different forms and Krishna's different activities. Krishna is arranging everything, not to be taken anything seriously here. This is the message eventually we will come to. So that is what that verse. Mayaveshya mana samyak. But prior to that, the mind has to get absorbed in Krishna. Samyak. Samyak means it should not leave again from that. Just like how strongly we are situated now in our material life, in the same way we have to be situated on the spiritual platform. Only then you can leave this. Samyak. Then Krishna says the result will be samadrik. You will see in everything that Krishna is there in different dresses and different forms, sitting at different places, doing different things. Once you know that, you understood Krishna to a large extent. Samadrik Vijarasvagam, walk through this world, Uddhava, Krishna says to Uddhava, and you can go back to your realized state. There is no more coming back to this material world again. So when Ekadasha Skandam, when we finish that, you will understand so many things Krishna will say before that, and that will be our benefit. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.